Good morning and welcome to worship on this first Sunday in Lent as we begin our season remembering the journey that Christ made to the cross on our behalf. Just a word of welcome today for those who are worshiping with us from home and those who are visiting with us here in the pews in the sanctuary. Also a word that Pastor Ben is preaching this morning at Bethesda. They are now without a pastor, and so they've asked if he could come there. No worries, they're not going to steal him away. I don't want you to be thinking that, but we've got an opportunity to share with our sister congregation, Bethesda, in their time of needing a pastor to serve there. And also, Deacon Claire is at Emmaus today, sharing in worship leadership there. I also want to introduce you to my friend and longtime friend and retired pastor, Kim Eifert Krogstad, who is standing beside me today and will assist in worship. Pastor Kim brought the word to us on Ash Wednesday, and on that day it was not appropriate for me to make any kind of announcement to welcome her. So today I want to welcome her. She'll be joining our congregation with those others who are joining Central Lutheran on Palm Sunday. So we'll officially welcome her that day, but please introduce yourself to Pastor Kim. With those brief announcements, I invite you to stand as you're able for our confession and forgiveness. We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the aid of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us now confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our strength, the struggle between good and evil rages within and around us, and the devil and all the forces that defy you tempt us with empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Genesis 2. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took it of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 5. Just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came to Jesus and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And the devil said to him, "All these I give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left Jesus, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer? Oh God, now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Just prior to spending 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus had been baptized by John in the River Jordan. It was there Jesus saw the Spirit descending and alighting on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And now on this first Sunday in Lent, in the year of our Lord 2023, we're reminded how Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. By setting up this scene in the wilderness, and by setting it immediately following Jesus' baptism in the Jordan, it seems all the more troubling to hear the role the devil played in tempting Jesus to prove his identity as God's beloved Son. We heard how the tempter taunted Jesus by saying, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." And when Jesus resisted and we heard then how the devil took him up to the holy city, to Jerusalem, and placed him on the very top, the pinnacle of the temple, and tested Jesus a second time, saying, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." Jesus, however, remained faithful. He would not succumb to the devil's tempting or taunting. Clearly, Jesus knew his identity. He certainly didn't need it to prove it to the devil or anyone else for that matter. From the moment of his conception, the Spirit was at work in this child born of Mary, and his mission was set in motion from that time onward. That is to say that Jesus knows full well who and whose he is, and he knows his purpose. The voice from heaven was clear. "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus, the Messiah, God's anointed one, is the very one God sent into the world that God so loved, in order not to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And in that moment of declaration, The identity of Jesus was confirmed, and it is clear that his purpose-driven life, death, and resurrection is meant to demonstrate to all future generations, including us and those who will come after us, the absurd lengths that God was willing to go to in order to remove the barrier between heaven and earth and to mend the brokenness between creation or creator and creature. God's beloved Son was sent in order to redeem and reconcile this world God so loves. And so here we are now, 2 millennia later, even in our continued rebellion against God and humanity's continued propensity to reject God, and not only God, but God's ways, we're still proclaiming the good news. Not only that, but we hold fast to the promise that God has named and claimed each of us in the waters of our baptism. As children of God, as siblings with Christ and with Christ, as heirs with Christ of the promises, we, the baptized, have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. We've been assured of the everlasting promise that God will never abandon nor forsake us, and that nothing, not one single thing in all of creation, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And with this promise, with this assurance, we are called into a new life. A new life that gives us our identity as God's beloved children. And with it, our lives have purpose. We are called to carry on the ministry of Jesus. As people of faith, whenever we publicly affirm our baptism into Christ's death and resurrection, as we will when we receive new members on Palm Sunday, we are asked if we intend to continue in the covenant that God made with us in holy baptism. There are 5 promises that we make, that we affirm. Those 5 promises are to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. And then we're asked to respond. We do, and we ask God to help and guide us. For we know, apart from God, we can do nothing. During Lent, as we prepare to receive new members into this community of faith, I want to offer a word to those among us who may be considering membership, may be considering making this your church home, and also to those who may be visiting with us, those who are new to our community. People are at Central are used to hearing me remind them from the pulpit that Central's mission statement is to be the hands and feet of Jesus by loving God and one another, by nurturing faithful living, by serving those in need, and by sharing the gospel. And so as we journey through these 40 days, let me remind all of us of this truth. You are not alone. Just as the devil left Jesus and suddenly the angels came and waited on him in the wilderness, remember, God is with you. God is with you. And so when you find yourselves during those times of wandering aimlessly in the midst of your own wilderness, remember too, your identity has been confirmed You are God's beloved. And no matter the season, God invites all of us, every last and least one of us, to share in the mission and ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let it be so. Amen.
Whole church, let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, for the world, and for all creation. You may be seated. You alone are God. Sustain your church. Inspire us with your word. Teach us your ways and turn our hearts toward you. Lord, in your mercy. You've entrusted us with the care of all that you've made. Verdant gardens and desert landscapes, earth and sky and sea and all living creatures. Forgive us when we have caused harm and help us to be better stewards of your creation. Lord, in your mercy. You know our temptations. Sustain those who govern and all world leaders. Instill in them a sense of your justice and righteousness, so that equity and peace would pervade all the regions and nations of the world. Be with all those impacted by war and violence. Lord, in your mercy. You provide comfort for those in distress. In times of trouble, trauma, or illness, surround your people with your steadfast love. Today we name before you those in our midst in need of your healing presence: Betsy Berg, Bonnie Betts, Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Elray's nephew, Charles Cook, Gail Hattelberg, Lori Lund, Marnie Rinmuth, Gretchen and Jeff Seamus, as well as those we now hold in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. You alone are God. We praise you for the faithful departed in every age. Unite our prayers with theirs until our wilderness journey is complete and we find our eternal rest in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your steadfast love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
A little switch. We've changed something in the bulletin that we haven't done for a long, long time, and that's to pause now and mention a few announcements of our life together, and then we will continue with the liturgy. I want to draw your attention to the front insert or inside of the bulletin where it gives directions about classes that are being offered during Lent. This morning we'll be gathering in the parish hall around round tables where we'll hear a little bit more about our life together at Central and the ways in which we engage in ministry together and also reach out to the community in which we are part of. So I encourage those of you, especially who are considering membership at Central, but also those who are longtime members, to join us in the parish hall, and we will have opportunity for discussion around those tables. So please plan to be there following getting a cup of coffee in the narthex. And then on Tuesday evening, we continue our Together Tuesday programming. The usual activities after soup supper at 5:15. Then 6 o'clock, we'll have an education hour. And again, we'll be looking at our life together as we worship, our worship life. And that connection between what we do in worship and what we do when we're sent out from the congregation to go in peace and serve the Lord. So we'll be making those connections on Tuesday evening and then concluding with holding evening prayer at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. So you're welcome to come for the meal at 5:15 or just for worship at 7. Either way, come and join us for that Together Tuesday. Normal programming of music together and children's choir rehearsal will also take place between 6 and 6:45. Having said that, now I do want to make it known again that Pastor Ben is at Bethesda. Pastor Steve Dow has resigned his call there, and they needed someone to fill in today. They've got other Sundays lined up, so this is not a regular thing, but Pastor Ben is there this morning bringing the word to them. And finally, just a word about the soup on Tuesday evening. If you're able to provide a crock pot of soup, if you could let me know, we could still use a couple more. We've got a couple people that have agreed to do that, but this week it would be helpful to know that there are a couple more of you planning to bring soup. With those announcements, we'll now continue as we do in preparing our hearts to receive this meal. Let us pray our offertory prayer. God of good gifts, receive these and all our offerings as we present them in faithful service for the sake of your gospel. Prepare our hearts to receive you in this meal as you pour out your very presence through Christ Jesus, the wellspring of eternal life. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through Christ our Lord. You bid your people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast. Renew our zeal in faith and life, and bring us to the fullness of grace that belongs to the children of God. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. You are indeed holy, almighty, and merciful God. You are most holy, and great is the majesty of your glory. You so loved the world that you gave your only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Having come into the world, he fulfilled for us your holy will, and accomplished our salvation. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and his promise to come again, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. And we implore you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these, your own gifts of bread and wine, that we and all who share in the body and blood of your Son may be filled with heavenly peace and joy, and receiving the forgiveness of sin, may be sanctified in soul and body, and have our portion with all your saints. Amen. Please be seated. This morning you are invited to come forward to the altar rail and kneel before the altar, or stand if you're unable to kneel. If you have trouble navigating the steps, please know that you can come forward and sit in the front pew and the worship servers will come to you. This is Christ's meal. It is Christ who bids you come. We have the wafers, the bread in the form of a wafer. You'll receive that. There are also gluten-free wafers available. And then you will, instead of intinking it, you will take from the cup. And there are red wine on the outer ring of the communion ware. And in the inner circle is white grape juice. So you may choose which one. Come, for all is now ready.
Thank you.
May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now I invite all who are able to stand for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.